Welcome to the 2025 92.9 The Game MLB Draft Special. Okay, I'm kidding. I knew I couldn't ride with that joke for too long or people would start turning off the radio. Then the 2025 MLB Draft is happening right now. I will let you know who goes first overall. I think it's probably going to be my guy, Cade Anderson, who just helped LSU win their eighth College Baseball World Series championship. And we'll let you know what the Braves, if the Braves pick at 22 while I'm still on the air, we'll let you know who that, we'll let you know where the holiday kid goes. Yeah, there's lots of holidays still just being drafted by MLB teams. But that's about as much as, you know, coverage as we're going to give the 2025 MLB draft, because I'm sure you don't want to hear much about that, and that's fine. I'm a nerd for stuff like that. I dig it. I know that you probably don't, and that's all good. This is the Bo Johnson Experience. I am Bo Johnson, 404-726-0929. That is the phone number. You can text. That's also the phone number you can call. Dominator here, Dom Taroski on the other side of the glass. We'll be taking your phone calls if you choose to get in touch with the program this evening. Super busy week. We're going to experience the headlines in the next segment. Lots of stuff going on revolving the All-Star game this week. We had some snubs. We had a switcheroo take place in the MLB Home Run Derby that does happen tomorrow night. We're going to talk some fantasy football at 6:40. I am with you for about the next 86 minutes. A quickie here on a Sunday night with the Bo Johnson Experience. And if there's anything I do well, it's quickies. We're gonna do a weekly rewind. Chipper Jones had some pretty cool things to say after the Futures game yesterday. And I'm going to let you hear some snippets of, and also release this week a conversation between Mike Vick and Mike Penix of Atlanta Falcons lore. Mike Penix, the current starting quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons, although Kirk Cousins still waiting in the wings. I'm going to talk a little bit about Kirk Cousins and then let that story just kind of fade away. I think this whole quarterback show is a ruse, though. They're all paid off. And I'll let you know how I think that went down. But a busy freaking week. I look at Friday, and I can't believe all the places that I've been. Mostly it's been work, but there have been a lot of things going on. Dom, how's your weekend, man?
It's been good. I was going to say, outside of work, I've actually kind of been able to chill, relax. It hasn't been too crazy for me.
I have not been able to chill much at all, but it's been mostly fun. Didn't do a whole lot Friday, but work here. Saturday... Oh, no. So Friday, I went and saw Superman. Have you seen Superman yet?
That's what I did on Friday. I was going to say, I haven't. I've heard great things.
Went and saw Friday, Superman on Friday. So we've got like a little eight-minute segment all the way at the end of the show at about, because we're giving way to Atlanta United 2, who has a game this evening that will be on our airwaves, brought to you by our one and only Jason Longshore on the call there. I'll talk a little bit about Superman without any spoilers. And there's also a big weekend for WWE here in Atlanta. This has been a huge weekend in Atlanta and the Atlanta metro area with the All-Star game being here this weekend. Lots of festivities going down. Beyonce's got like 15 shows in Atlanta this weekend. WWE has two shows in Atlanta this weekend. Last night, Saturday night's main event, the return of Bill Goldberg happened last night. Didn't go all the way that I think WWE was wanting that to. So we'll discuss nerdy stuff at about 7:20. Superman and WWE. The Braves were busy, though, on Friday night. Beat the Cardinals 6-5. Grant Holmes goes three innings, gives up five earned runs, and the Braves still win. The bullpen pitches six innings, zero earned runs, which was a pretty good showing by the bullpen, as we are going to need those guys down the stretch. Trade deadline looming. You would expect that the Braves are going to have to do something to get some pitching relief in here, as you cannot go the rest of the season with bullpen games, which is what they did today and what they had to do Friday with Grant Holmes only going three innings. Ronald Acuna Jr., 3-for-5 with an RBI. Sean Murphy, 3-for-5 as well. Two dingers Friday night. Sean Murphy is something I want to touch on here in just 1 second. Flash forward to Saturday. Now, this was kind of strange that I was at work at Truist Park, and there was a Braves game happening, but it wasn't there. It was a Futures game that was actually happening. As far as the Braves go, Aaron Bummer, 2 innings pitched, 3 earned runs. Joey Wentz, who just signed off of waivers, former Brave, now current Brave, 3 innings pitched, 0 earned runs, 6 strikeouts for Joey Wentz. Good for you, Joey. Welcome back. Another first since something like 2019 for Ronald Acuna Jr. on Saturday as he bats out of the 3-hole. All right, now, Ronnie has led off for the last, maybe not since 2019. That seems like too far long ago. It's been some years. Ronnie's been lead off for a while. I think 2019 is too far. Either way, not the most important thing of that situation. First two hitters do nothing Saturday afternoon. Ronnie hits a solo shot, which is why he was moved down in the lineup. So hopefully we can get somebody on when you get your best hitter on the team up. And I'm kind of torn between, do you hit your best hitter first or do you hit your best hitter second or third so that they can drive in runs? You know, typically, you know, your leadoff hitter is going to be your best on-base percentage guy, who is usually, you know, somebody that's a threat to steal bases. Well, that's Ronald Acuna Jr. too. I'm more of a proponent of Ronnie batting second. Now, every spot you move down the lineup, you're sacrificing about 60 at-bats on the season per spot in the lineup. Now, this is loosey-goosey math. Every team is different. Every year is different. But it's right around there. That's an average. So it's about 60 at-bats per season, per spot in the lineup. I would love to see Ronald Acuna Jr. hit second. Now, my ultimate Braves lineup, and we could still get there. And look, I know before you come at me, my vision was for Michael Harris to second to be batting leadoff, and that still may happen. Now, look, I get it. Before you lambaste me on the text line or wherever, I'm available on that line, 404-726-0929. Also available on Twitter. You want to hit me up there at Jedi Sports Radio. That's what I envisioned. I'm a huge Michael Harris fan. He's a five-tool baseball player, and he has all the tools to bat leadoff. It just has not gone well in the past when he has been put there. Still got a lot of future ahead, hopefully, for Monty Harris, though. So Ronnie bats third on Saturday. I would rather see him hit second. I think that's happened to me. That's where Mike Trout, who was for a nice long period of time, you know, the best player in baseball. Now that's probably Ronald Acuna Jr., maybe Aaron Judge. All depends on how you want to look at it. I get it. Ronnie's, you know, been back for 50 games, 60 games since returning from his second ACL surgery, but look at the numbers, as Mike Bell likes to say. They're there. Sean Murphy hits a home run, goes 1-for-4. That's number 16 on Saturday. Marcell Ozuna goes 2-for-4 with his 13th home run. And then today, sorry if I'm a little bit all over the place, today as we still look at a rain-soaked Braves baseball game that is still in a weather delay, They restarted the game and then went back into a weather delay. Here in Atlanta, you never see that. They look at that Doppler so hard that we'll sit there and start games at midnight. But there's no way. How did the Doppler just get past? Like, they literally started the game back for like 30 minutes. Enough for Matt Olson to tie the game. We'll let you hear that in the next segment because it probably is not going to be started back by the time we come back. I don't know what they were thinking and what kind of window they had to restart this game. Maybe they were going to think they were going to get through five is what they were probably trying to do. Now, I do think that you have to complete 5 innings. They are in the top of the fifth right now. You got to complete 5 innings to call it a game. That's probably what they were aiming for by restarting it in the fifth since they were so close. So we'll see. Strange today, though, on the last game before the All-Star break, Marcell Ozuna being out of the lineup after yesterday hitting a home run. It would seem to me that right after a player hits a home run in a game, that his trade value may be at its peak. I'm thinking there's either a deal in place for Marcell Ozuna to be traded. Now, look, we're 2 weeks away from the trade deadline, and Marcell Ozuna has an expiring contract. It is of my belief that Marcell Ozuna will be traded before the trade deadline, and I'm not the only one that shares that belief. But I think by taking him out of the game today, they are either near a deal to trade Marcell Ozuna, or maybe the day after, you know, he hits a home run. This is the last game before the All-Star break anyway. The Braves play again not till Friday. So that gives you 5 days where in Atlanta, lots of GMs, lots of coaches, lots of players are going to be in town. You may see Marcell Ozuna leave on somebody else's plane at the end of the week if a deal is not already in place. So if Marcell Ozuna starts today and goes 0-for-4 with two strikeouts, that's not a really big, hey, look what he's done lately type, you know, situation to be, hey, you want this player on your team. Yesterday, after he hits a home run, goes 1-for-4, but he, you know, no, that's he was 2-for-4 yesterday with a home run. You probably want to get that, since there's only one game left anyway. Let's not start Marcell Ozuna, have that be the last game, maybe as an Atlanta Brave, or before we start seriously shopping him, maybe we have that 2-for-4 game with a home run as the last thing that we can say to teams as, you know, what he's done. I think one of those two situations is definitely happening. Either there's already a deal in place, or they just didn't play him today because they want his value to stay at its apex. And he's had the hip tear thing going on this season. He took a big slide in June. Has come around lately with a couple of days off here and there. Started to show some power again. Started to show some average at the plate. 2-for-4, home run, value at its peak. I think that's what's going on. Let me rewind back to Sean Murphy for a minute. Why are trade Sean Murphy people so adamant about trading Sean Murphy? Sean Murphy can't hit. Get that bum out of town. When Sean Murphy was not hitting, what do you think his value was? So now that Sean Murphy is hitting, your attitude is get that bum the hell out of town while he's hitting. What makes you think Sean Murphy's a bum? Everybody wants to bring up the William Contreras trade. So William Contreras makes the All-Star team last year, has a pretty good season. Okay. Sean Murphy also had a pretty good 23 in that record-setting season for the Braves, which is another topic of conversation as to why would you want to blow this team up? Because people are seriously talking about, oh, time to trade everybody. Time to get out from under these awesome contracts, by the way. Time to start over with what? But let me get back to Sean Murphy, though. After he has hit his, where are we at, 16th home run? 13 for Ozuna, 16 for Sean Murphy. My notes are kind of jammed together, sorry. Has been on a tear lately. Probably the best hitter in the lineup right now. So if you think back to the days when Travis d'Arnaud was on the team, the Braves want to have, that was d'Arnaud and Contreras, I think, is probably what it was. Wasn't d'Arnaud the starter and then Contreras was the two guy and they would have like a 60-40 split, 70-30, something like that for a while. They've done this since Alex Anthopoulos has been with the team. They want to have two catchers that play regularly. Now, one of them is going to get the lion's share of the catching duty because one of them is typically a better catcher. That is Sean Murphy. He is a much better catcher than Drake Baldwin. And when you have a young pitching staff, that does matter. Now, the trade Sean Murphy people are going to tell you that it doesn't, but I can guarantee you, and Dom, we had this conversation about Pierce Johnson, I think, maybe about 2 or 3 weeks ago, or I had this conversation with somebody when Pierce Johnson just came into a game and got lit up that maybe it wasn't the best called game by Drake Baldwin. Now, that's a different conversation for a different. So we already know that Marcell Ozuna's got 1 foot out of the door, whether you like it or not. I don't like that, but that's the reality of the situation. If you can play, keep both these bats in the lineup and catch one of them 3 days a week, the other one 3 days a week, or 4 days a week, 2 days a week, but you hit them both and DH one of them, you get to rest both your catchers regularly. You get both your bats in the lineup. And Drake Baldwin gets to grow as a defensive catcher. Sean Murphy stays as a defensive catcher. Is that not what you want? We extended Sean Murphy for a reason. A lot of that reason is because he is a fantastic defensive catcher. But as you can see in 23, he's got some serious pop at the plate too. So let's not be so quick to run Sean Murphy out of town. Jeepers creepers. Like, you have one down season, and the I watch baseball on a part-time basis people want to blow this thing up and run everybody out of town. Jeepers, calm down. All right, I need to calm down. I'm getting riled up, Dom. I didn't even get into the other stuff happening at the J.R. Richie Shine. We had two Braves in the Futures game. They did well. There was a quote-unquote celebrity softball game that also happened at Truist Park yesterday. But we got to go to break, so I'm going to tell you all about that. We're going to experience the headlines next. This is the Bo Johnson Experience on Sports Radio 99 The Game. Sports Radio 99 The Game. Welcome back to the Experience. I'm Bo Johnson. 404-726-0929 is the number of the text line if you want to text, or it's the phone number if you want to call. There will be no Ask Each Other Anything this evening, as we only have about 45 minutes left in the radio program, or my math could be off, 55, about an hour. Yeah, right at about an hour. So the MLB draft is happening. I do know that Eli Willits went first to the Washington Nationals. Maybe they are trying to draft C.J. Abrams' replacement. Cade Anderson goes number 3 overall to the Seattle Mariners. From Baton Rouge to Seattle. Good luck, Cade. So, Dom, are you familiar with Voyager 1?
Voyager 1?
Yeah.
No.
So, Voyager 1 is a satellite that was launched in 1977. It's been headed out to outer space since then.
Mm-hmm.
It's past Jupiter. It's past, like, all of our planets.
Right.
Past Jupiter, like, 10 years ago. Voyager 1, at an average of 35,000 miles per hour, has traveled 15 billion miles since 1977. Still going. All right? That's one light day. So a light year is a measurement of distance, not time.
Right,
right.
Right.
It's just how much light would travel in one year is that distance in space. So Voyager has traveled one light day in 40 years, 48 years. All right? The closest galaxy to us is Andromeda. That's 2.5 million light years away is how far away the closest next galaxy is to us. And you can see, if we're so light polluted around here with city, go out to the country, you can see Andromeda on a clear night without a telescope.
Okay.
2.5 million years away, or 15 billion miles away is Voyager 1. All right, Voyager 1 just recently had rocket propulsion problems. All right? Somehow, some way, and this is in an article that I'm going to read later. I'm not going to read it for you here on the radio because I have a point to this. Somehow, some way, NASA, who does great things, loves some NASA, would have loved to have worked there, but that would have required me staying in college. They found a way to restart the main booster engines. Voyager's been riding on secondary boosters since, like, I don't know, like a decade ago.
Right.
They found a way, after these things have been dormant for 10 years or more, to restart the main booster engines from 15 billion miles away. They figured out a way with computers and science to restart, to get these engines back working so that Voyager can continue. Voyager 1 has made it out of our solar system into the interstellar space. Interstellar is outside of our solar system, basically. I would love to know why. When I was at Murph's earlier, because I went to hang out with my guys from the Midday Show, Abe had gone on right before them. Midday Show happened at 1, then you got Grant, then you get me. I'm not at Murph's, by the way. Don't go there trying to see me. Not that any of you would. I'm up here at Colony Square. I don't get to take part in that much fun. I would love to know why I had to leave Murph's just to get a freaking internet signal, not on their Wi-Fi. I'm trying to use 5G here. Now, look, this is right next door to MLB All-Star Village. 10,000 people probably there.
Right,
soaking up all the internet. That, I don't care. My internet connection, trying to use 5G, I'm not going to tell you who my phone provider is. They probably spend money somewhere with us, or maybe they're competitor to us. I don't know. That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Every phone company, you should not have to be going through this in 2025. If you can reset or start a freaking rocket engine from, what I say this was again, 15 billion miles away, my daughter FaceTimed me. She's on a cruise down there somewhere in the Caribbean. She FaceTimed me. Her phone signal was perfectly fine. I tried to take the call from Murph's. Couldn't even get it. I also was going to try to do some show prep from there. Couldn't even get anything to pull up on the internet because the signal was so crappy.
They save all the good stuff for themselves.
How in God's green earth can I not take a FaceTime call from my kid from here on earth?
Yeah. I would say, God forbid I try and send like a text while I'm on
Which
is Marta.
Done through like satellite.
Yeah.
I can't get a FaceTime call from my kid, but y'all can reprogram and restart a freaking rocket engine from 15 billion miles away? Come on, share that technology. They probably can share that technology.
They could.
They choose not to. They're Absolutely. Just going to charge us a bunch for it later on in the future, and that's just kind of...
You know how these things go.
That's my rant on cell phone coverage. Let's experience the headlines.
Checking out the scores and headlines from around the area as we experience the headlines.
Wait till they get a load of me.
On the Bo Johnson Experience.
Third shower of the day coming through. 3-2 and a liner into left center field. Harris scores. Here comes Profar. And Matt Olson through the raindrops gives the Braves a 3-1 lead here in the fifth.
And how about the reaction from Matt Olson? That had to feel good for him. Another long at bat. 10 pitches there.
So that's where we are. That was from today, the Braves game that is still going on, and I say going on very delicately because I'm looking at the TV here and the tarp's still out in St. Louis. Matty O, they come back from a rain delay. Matty O gives the Braves a lead with a two-run single, as you just heard from FanDuel Sports Southeast. And that's still where we are. 3-1. Matty Olson gives the Braves a lead in the fifth, and they are still under a weather delay over in St. Louis. Speaking of Matt Olson, it was declared earlier in the week, will replace Ronald Acuna Jr. in the home run derby. Ronald Acuna Jr. did talk about this Saturday night, or maybe it was Friday night, one of those nights. The most important question that was asked of him was this your decision or the Braves? He did say that it was his decision. Not the Braves, although they may have kind of given him a little nudge. Look, I get it. I wanted to see Ronald Acuna Jr. in the home run derby too. He's done it twice, has not won it. That Met Pete Alonso has taken him out both times he competed. Pete Alonso was not in it. I was thinking maybe Ronnie had a chance this year with him in it, but he's not. Matt Olson going to take his place. Now, we all know how much Matt Olson loves hitting home runs in Truist Park. Matt Olson has bounced home runs off the top of the freaking chop house in his career from Truist Park. If you are sitting in anywhere in the right field bleachers Monday night, I would say you have a pretty good chance of catching a Matt Olson home run derby home run. Matt Olson may be the better candidate from the Atlanta Braves to be in the home run derby in Atlanta. One, because of the short porch in right field where he loves just hitting dingers to. Two, because he is a homegrown. Look, we all love Ronald Acuna Jr. We all love Matt Olson. We all love this team. Matt Olson, homegrown kid, went to Parkview. Numbers retired at Parkview. Was at the All-Star game. Was at the Home Run Derby in 2000. Tells stories of that. Played it for you earlier this week. At the All-Star game, Home Run Derby in 2000. He couldn't have been any more than, like, I don't know, 12 or 13 years old. So I support this decision. Look, Ronnie had the back. He didn't have a back thing a couple days ago. They just sat him because he works out on the first day of a road trip, or first day of a series. He felt a little something, sat out a game. He's come back and hit like three home runs since then in the past two games. That may be a lie, but he's hit at least one. He hit one yesterday. So I support this decision. If it's Ronnie's idea to sit out just to make sure that he doesn't tweak anything. Look, the home run derby takes a lot out of you, and I'm not one of those it's going to mess up his swing conspiracy theory people, because that's all that is a conspiracy theory. There is no evidence of it messing up anybody's swing. There have randomly been guys that have had bad second halves that have competed in the home run derby, but there have been more guys that have had good second halves or continued second halves from not. So Matt Olson will face in the Home Run Derby tomorrow night, Byron Buxton, Junior Caminero, Jazz Chisholm, which that's a fun addition. You know Jazz is going to bring the bling and upset some old people that don't like all that stuff tomorrow night. Like, this is the stage where they get to really show off You know Jazz is going to bring it tomorrow night. That's going to be fun. O'Neal Cruz, who is another one that just hits blistering baseballs. I think O'Neal Cruz is probably going to have the hardest hit and the farthest baseball hit tomorrow night, although Matt Olson might hit one into the battery. If you're in the green space in the battery tomorrow evening, which is right outside right field, you might want to look up. I would imagine it's going to be on the big screen over there in the green space. Matt Olson might hit one. I think O'Neal Cruz is going to have a good one. Cal Raleigh, big dumper in the home run derby, who just hit yesterday his 36th home run of the first half of the season. He has already passed Ken Griffey Jr. for the most home runs by a Seattle Mariner in a first half of a season. He is three home runs away from Barry Bonds' record of 39, I think it's 39 before the All-Star break, which is just what in the bejesus is going on here with Cal Raleigh? I hope he wasn't hanging out with what's my cat from over there in San Diego that Jerks Pro Farmers hanging out? You know me. Names escape me sometimes. Brent Rooker and James Wood to even out or to finish off the pool of players who are going to be competing in the Home Run Derby tomorrow night versus Matt Olson. Then flash forward to Tuesday, Tarik Skubal and Paul Skeens have been announced as the all-star starting pitchers. I would imagine they were probably only going to go one inning. Skubal 10-3 with a 2.23 ERA, 153 Ks, 16 walks through the first half of the season for Tarik Skubal. Paul Skeens with a 4-8 record, but a 2.01 ERA. And 131 strikeouts in the first half of the season. Jeepers creepers. The Pirates just suck. Get that man some help, Pittsburgh. Still lots of other headlines to go over. But in the next segment, we're going to talk in fantasy football. I've been trying to talk about this article. 10 things to make your fantasy football season a lot more fun. We're going to do it in the next segment, Dom. I'm also, if we have time, going to make the case for Brock Bowers to be drafted in the first round. I think there is a case, but there's also some other guys that are making it not as fun. I'll explain all that. We're going to talk some fantasy football next. Give me about 5 minutes. The Bo Johnson Experience on Sports Radio 99 The Game and the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 99 The Game. Welcome back to the Experience. I am Bo Johnson. 404-726-0929 is the phone number and the text line number if you want to hit us up. By all means, look, if you're a trade Sean Murphy person, call me up. Let's talk about it. Love to have that conversation. Or, look, there are actually out there trade Ronald Acuna Jr. people. Now, they're mostly, you know, media pundits that are just looking for clicks. But look, I saw on one of the major market sports show networks, primetime shows, they were throwing around scenarios where the Braves should trade Ronald Acuna Jr. You're going to give up your AAA team, like the whole team, stadium, cheerleaders, all that, mascot, all the state, yeah, because it would take that much. Come on. You don't trade one of the top three players in Major League Baseball. Anywho, Dom, are you a water person? Like, not just like swimming pools, but do you love the ocean?
Yes, yes, huge.
Are you like a snorkel dive type person?
Yeah, I will.
Yeah, me too.
I've never gone like deep sea, but like yeah. I've done snorkeling and stuff like that.
I was a certified scuba diver at one point in my life. Moved here to take a job promotion, and I was in food service, so I just started. Gave my whole life to work, which mm-hmm. you should never do, young people. Don't do that. Work to live, don't live to work. Is that what the saying is?
Yeah, something like that.
I love sharks. I never got to see. I have dove in salt water around some coral reef beds. I've dove around offshore oil rigs are very fun to dive around. They'll take you to those. I've been out in the sea. I've never seen a shark. All right. I love snorkeling. When we went down on a cruise last year, yeah. Did a lot of snorkeling down there. Went down 30 feet to retrieve Tara's phone at one point. Still never seen a shark. One of the things I want to do is go scuba diving either in Australia or South Africa where there are a lot of great white sharks. I want to, you know, and if I were to go to a great white shark area, definitely want to go cage diving. Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying I want to just jump in there with great whites.
Free willy.
You know, yeah. They don't like human but they will. They're curious. They don't have hands.
Yeah.
So how do sharks, you know, they nudge stuff and take nibbles. It's kind of like what cats do.
I was going to say, it's the same way babies are. Babies,
and babies.
They put everything in their mouth. Why? Because that's
great
the only thing
sharks
I know how to do.
Are no more mean. They mean you no more harm than babies. God, I got to write that down because I need to tell my guy, Randy Michael, that. Because we have this discussion all the time. He's worried that sharks like to eat people. I try telling him they don't like to eat people. They don't even like biting people.
Yeah.
But they're curious.
Just curious.
Don't go in the water looking like a seal.
Yeah, babies.
That's what, you know,
just curious.
Babies are the same way.
Put everything
a
in my
shark
mouth.
Shark could put a foot, his own foot in his mouth. He probably would.
Exactly.
Australian scientists have discovered, now I don't know. See, this is why I was a biology major in college. I would love to go back and finish that.
Mm-hmm.
And be a marine biologist somewhere, or just go work at the freaking aquarium scraping the sides of fish tanks for all I care. Yeah. I would love to do that.
Sounds like
still
fun.
May. All right. But I want to be like the people that discover this stuff. Australian scientists have discovered that music attracts great white sharks. All right. So I guess they're putting speakers in the ocean, and great white sharks are the most common ones that are just coming around. But you have to do experiments like this several hundreds of times to see that you're actually, this is what. One song they were particularly fond of, I guess that attracts more great white sharks than other songs, Back in Black by AC/DC.
Ah, there we go.
Which is why I had Dom come back with Back in Black by AC/DC. Now,
great song.
I would imagine that on, because AC/DC is an Australian music band, if I'm not mistaken. I know that Angus is Australian. They have some I think they're, I'm pretty sure they are an Australian rock band. They may be British, but I'm pretty sure they're Australians. So that's probably why they're in that playlist of songs.
Yeah, Sydney, Australia.
Yeah. So that's, you know, that's why they probably use that. But I think that's just cool. So just keep in mind, if you ever go scuba diving, maybe leave the AirPods in the boat. Don't be listening to music underwater. And that's probably impossible now, but they already make phones that are good, you know, in the water. So not going to surprise me. Hey, now you can go scuba diving with your AirPods in because they're completely water resistant. Anyways, I just thought that was funny. Sharks love rock music, don't we all?
I mean, hey, you got to appreciate the classics.
You do. And Back in Black's a great song.
Mm-hmm. Great song. Can't get mad at it.
10 ways to make your fantasy football league more fun. This is a article that was at this point published, I don't know, 3-4 weeks ago by Daniel Dopp, fantasy analyst at ESPN. And we're not in it. Calm down. We are approaching fantasy football draft season.
Yes.
Some things in the works for this year's fantasy football show. Some things in the works for a fantasy football draft special here on 99 of the Game. And when I say in the works, like there's been a conversation, not that anything is on a map or that anything is on a schedule. But those are things that could be coming your way very soon. So now it is that season. I've got trades going down. I just approved a trade in my fantasy football league literally in our last break. Too many names in the trade to see if it even makes sense. But I recently made a trade to acquire the number one overall draft pick in a dynasty for this year's draft. And then I quickly took Ashton Jeanty as soon as the draft started. I had to give up. I had the 11th spot in this year's draft, so I gave up 11, and then I gave up my second-round pick this year and a first-round pick from next year, which I had two from a trade. So I think I got the better deal of that. We'll see. Ashton Jeanty could end up being a bum. We never know. So 10 things to make your fantasy football league more fun, because we all want to make our fantasy football leagues more fun. So we're going to run through this, and we'll see what you think. League size and draft options. You increase the number of teams in your league, most certainly. 8-team leagues, look, I get it that scoring is fun, but when you can go in a fantasy football league and get somebody like, who's that going to be this year? In an 8-team league, I would bet that somebody like Cooper Kupp doesn't even get drafted.
Yeah, like a guy like that. Like, I can't stand, because there's no real skill
involved
with that.
There's not, because every team is completely
exactly
loaded.
Every team is stacked.
Yes.
Which, I mean, I guess if you want to be like, it's a level playing field, but like, yeah, whatever.
That's not level.
No.
Come
no,
on, that's no. Just every team is stacked.
Exactly.
I mean, I've actually played. We tried to get a fantasy league going on my mom's side of the family. If you can get a league going with your any parts of your family, great way to stay in touch with family and friends.
Yep.
I've got a league, and most of the guys that I'm in the league with, we started in 2007. Most of the guys in the league I'm still friends with. We get together every year, at least a few of us, and do the draft. Labor Day weekend, that league is still going strong. That's the league that I just approved a trade in. I highly recommend doing this. Just a great way to keep in touch with friends. So when you go to look at stats and rankings and stuff like this on ESPN or Fantasy Pros or any of these sites, most rankings are done off of 10-team leagues. I even feel that 10-team leagues are a little shallow. Like, you can still have some pretty stacked rosters.
10 is my cutoff. 10 is my cutoff. I'm not doing anything less than 10. Yeah.
So a 10-team league is a league big enough to where you're not just going to have good players out there on waivers for you to pick up, but it is going to be a little bit more challenging to fill out the end of your roster. I much more prefer 12-team leagues. 12-team leagues are where you got to have some skill in the draft. You got to be football conscious during the year to know who's heating up, what waiver wire ads you should be making, who's available, things like that. A 12-team league, you kind of got to pay attention. When you go farther into 14 and 16-team leagues, that's when it gets really fun if you're really a fantasy football nerd like I am. Make the switch to a salary cap draft. I very much love this idea, too. Instead of doing a standard snake draft where you go 1 through 12, 12 through 1, 1 through 12, 12 through 1, you actually have an auction budget, and you bid on players. Best type of way to do a league.
Okay.
Because everybody has a spot at every player.
Mm-hmm.
So my 101 this year is Bijan Robinson. Yours may be Ja'Marr Chase. So instead of one guy being able to get one of those guys, then the second pick getting the other one, in an auction draft, everybody has a chance. So you do go in an order, but all you do in that order is you nominate a player.
Yeah.
So I'm going to nominate Bijan Robinson for $1. Then everybody, and then you got to operate within the constraints of a budget. So you can't just go spending. You can do it with $100 or $200, whatever makes it easiest. Everybody has the same amount, so it's all relative to. But you can't go spend half your auction budget on that one player, or you're not going to have much to fill the rest of your team out. So everybody will have an option to draft Bijan Robinson or Ja'Marr Chase whenever they come up. Definitely like a salary cap or an auction draft. Roster and scoring settings, ditch kickers and defenses. Did this a long time ago in the league that I am the commissioner of. I've done this. I have a few leagues that I'm the pseudo commissioner, whereas it's just a redraft league and all I do is kind of set the league up. None of those leagues I use kickers in. A few of them we still use team defenses, but I'm not a huge fan of team defenses either. The kicker thing for me is like this. You know, you spend the entire week, or maybe you just spend an hour. Either way, putting time into your fantasy football team. You look at matchups. You listen to schlubs like me on the radio giving you fantasy football advice. You go onto Twitter. You read articles. Only for, let's see, Blake Groupe of the New Orleans Saints to have a day where the Saints offense just doesn't function, which Blake Groupe is going to be a pretty good fantasy kicker this year because the Saints offense probably not going to be able to move the ball a whole lot. Only for Blake Groupe, because of the Saints not being able to score touchdowns, scores five field goals and has a 15-point day and you lose by 2 points. That just makes zero sense to me. And if you really think about it, it should not make sense to you either. You can't just sit here and tell me, those days had... No, they don't. They should not just happen. He didn't score 15 points because that's an average day for your fantasy football quarterback.
Yeah.
He didn't score 15 points because he's good. He scored 15 points because he plays in a dome and he's on a crappy team. You shouldn't win a fantasy football game or matchup in that manner because of that.
You know, because I've been on the wrong end of that.
I'm pretty sure everybody
I remember having a night where I thought I was good. I was like, okay, I can go to bed, and I'll never forget. I went to bed, and I woke up the next morning, and I was up by like 18 points, and all he had was his kicker, and it was Dan Bailey for the Dallas Cowboys.
Perfect example.
Dan Bailey went off for 24 that
24
night.
24 points.
24.
Now, see, that gets me to my next thing with kickers. Was this in a league with 5 point 50 plus field goals?
Yeah, you get the bonus points.
4 point 40 plus field goals?
No. Only for
50.
The bonus points are only for 50. If you kick a 50 yarder, then you get bonus points for that.
So that's the default setting for kickers in most fantasy football leagues.
Yeah.
Not only do you get 3 points for a 20 yard field goal, chip shot, You get 5 points for 50-yard field goal?
So for us, we don't do five for 50s. We just do an extra three. So it's like a 50-yard field goal is it's essentially worth
good
six.
God almighty, 6 points for one field goal? That's a touchdown, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It is crazy, but there is, and this is funny because I'm usually not someone who's very like, oh, traditionalist and stick to
I get it.
There is something that I like still kind of about having to grind out and worry about a kicker and a defense.
All right, so here's what you do in a league like that. All right, so my second part of this kicker rant is that 4-point field goals and 5-point field goals, what are we doing? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Field goals count 3 points in the NFL. Now, look, before you come at me, well, you get a 1 point for every yard that a running back scores. Okay, by that thought process, one, PATs should count 3 points instead of 1 point because that's a 33-yard field goal. All right. Two, a missed 50-yard field goal, as long as it gets down there, should count 5 points because you just kicked it 50 yards. All right. So miss me with that. Okay. Well, we get a point for yardage. Okay. Look, a field goal should count 3 points, be it from 60 yards or 10 yards. Now, if you're in a league where you like that, Sleeper offers this, which I didn't discover this until I switched almost all my leagues over to Sleeper. Highly recommend doing the same thing. Sleeper 1, Yahoo 2, ESPN 3. Most of the other ones I absolutely cannot stand. What you can do in Sleeper now, you can award field goal points based on how many yards they were kicked by, and it uses the same math. It uses partial points. So if you kick a 35-yard field goal, it's worth 3.5 points. You kick a 65-yard field goal, that's worth 6.5 points. You kick a 25-yard field goal, it's only worth 2.5 points.
Okay. All right. I'm not mad
at that. I can get behind. You're getting, if you like the yardage argument and you like these just dumb field, I would like to play in one league with like a $20 buy-in for that. I would not put any kind of high stakes in a league like that, but I think it would be fun in a lower stake league to have scoring like that. Because if you like these 50-yard field goal bonus points, well, let's do this. So that's something you may try in a league that you like kicker scoring.
I would definitely try something like
that. Yeah, that'd be fun.
I like having the kickers
for small wages. These are offshore leagues only. Yeah, I'm pretty sure gambling's still illegal in Georgia. I'm telling you, we gamble for candy bars around these parts by wages and whatnot. Yeah. So Superflex. I very much love Superflex. I know we're like out of time here. I very much love adding a Superflex. That is a flex position that allows you to start another quarterback. Quarterbacks are the highest scoring guys in the league, and the position is always super deep. That's why we wait on quarterbacks.
Yep.
Now, because of the flurry of injuries that we've seen in like the last 5 years, it seemed like last year every starting quarterback in the league got hurt. All right. Because of this, I've now kind of adopted the philosophy, well, there's probably 4 or 5 elite quarterbacks, and I would probably want to have one of those. If I don't get one of those guys in the first 5 rounds, then I'm going to wait to the 10th round, and I'm going to draft Jared Goff or Aaron Rodgers, because this year they're probably going to have similar seasons. I'm just, you know. So I do love a super flex. It gives you an option of starting 2 quarterbacks on a weekly basis, but also gives you an option, say you've got your second quarterback's not very good or on a bye, you can start another wide receiver, running back, or tight end. Love super flex leagues. And we only got halfway through this article. And we only have like 20 minutes left of a show, if you include breaks. So, all right. What's next? We're gonna do the weekly rewind next. We're going to let you hear some Chipper Jones sound. We may get back into some fantasy football conversations. There's also a lot going on down near the ballpark. All-Star Village, if you can get out there at any point, still open today. I think they're closed. I think it closed at like 6. I could be wrong. Might be 8. Look it up on the internet. Maybe I'll do that for you. We'll be right back. We're going to do the weekly rewind. On the other side of this break, give me 5 minutes. The Bo Johnson Experience on Sports Radio 99 The Game.
Third shower of the day coming through. 3-2 and a liner into left center field. Harris scores. Here comes Profar. And Matt Olson through the raindrops gives the Braves a 3-1 lead here in the fifth.
And how about the reaction from Matt Olson? That had to feel good for him. Another long at-bat. 10 pitches there.
So we have good news in St. Louis. That was not another Matt Olson single that scored 2 runs. That was the same one. But I played it for this reason. It looks like play is about to resume as the tarp has been taken off the field in St. Louis. We are at 3-1, top of the fifth, runner on first with two outs. That runner is Matt Olson, who did score two runs about an hour and a half ago or so. So, looks like they're going to resume play here very shortly, ladies and gentlemen. The MLB draft is going on. We are at the 10th pick, so the Braves pick 22nd. Not likely that they are going to pick while I am still on the air. Tune in tomorrow, though, as that's sure that's all Andy and Randy are going to talk about on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy that you can hear right here on 99 The Game, Monday through Friday, 11 to 2, because they love analyzing the Major League Baseball draft. Actually, tune in at 12:40 for the back page. That'll be the first time you probably hear one word about it. But I'm going to tell you who they drafted. Not going to spend a whole lot of time on it, though. Who we are going to spend some time on, I sat there and ranted about crappy cell reception, but I didn't tell you anything about All-Star Village, which is just awesome. If you've ever been to SEC Media Day's fanfare, it's like that, but on super, super steroids. The Cumberland or the Mall area convention center thing, the whole thing is All-Star Village. Upstairs, downstairs, so much to do. Lots of lines of stuff to do, but I'm talking about they have big displays where you can go play MLB The Show or 2K The Show. You can do home run derbies. You can do e-home run derbies. You can throw the baseball, hit the baseball. Coach Ballgame, if you know who he is doing a big Sandlot tour there where you can jump in and play some. Looked like they were playing wiffle ball. If you check out my Twitter at Jedi Sports Radio, you can also on my IG, our good buddy Mark Owens, who is a host down there at All-Star Village, former host of the Atlanta Braves, in-game host, and former producer here at 99 The Game, is doing a booth, not really a booth, but an attraction there, where he will call out your name as the number one overall pick for whatever baseball team you choose. I did that, and Mark Owens called out my name, but it wasn't because of a position that I played in baseball. So go check out my Twitter at Jedi Sports Radio or my IG. I put that on there. Also happening this weekend was the Futures game down at Truist Park. And we did have two Atlanta Braves playing in the Futures game. Number six prospect overall, J.R. Richie, did start the game. He walked the first batter, but he's registered a scoreless first inning yesterday, struck out two guys. And then Hayden Harris, another pitcher for the Braves, who is at Gwinnett right now, he's the number 29 prospect in the Braves organization, came in to face one batter, struck that guy out. So Braves having some success yesterday. Chipper Jones was one of the coaches of the Futures game yesterday. Then had a press conference with good buddy Marquise Grissom, who was also a coach of the Futures game. Got to talk about one of the things they talked about. I'll play a couple cuts here for you. One of the things they talked about was Ronald Acuna Jr. and how much of an honor it is for Ronnie to play in the All-Star game at home, which is something that Hank Aaron got to do. Something that Chipper Jones got to do in 2000. Now in 2025, Ronald Acuna Jr. is going to get to play in an All-Star game at home. Here's Chipper talking about Ronald Acuna Jr. and his future with the Atlanta Braves.
I've said, you know, all along that I feel that Ronald Acuna Jr. is one of the most, if not the most talented person to ever put a Braves uniform on. He has... You know, he's got tools in his tool belt that, you know, other players have, but he's got all the tools. You know, I mean, there have been guys here that have hit 40 home runs. There have been guys here that have stolen 70 bases. There have been guys here that have won a ton of gold gloves. But none of them can do it all. None of them have done all that. So Ronald has a very bright future. If we can keep his knees under him and keep him healthy, I think he's in for a long and illustrious career.
That was Braves Hall of Famer Chipper Jones there talking about Ronald Acuna Jr. Look, every tool in a toolbox, those are some pretty big words from Chipper Jones about Ronald Acuna Jr., best Brave to ever suit up. Now, he's said this before, but he just said this again yesterday, as it is going to be a tremendous honor for Ronald Acuna Jr. to play in the All-Star game at home. Also for Matt Olson, who came to the All-Star game when it was here in 2000. Going to be a fantastic. From the text line, Rusty, on the shark thing, would you go down into the ocean in a big cage surrounded by a whole bunch of sharks? Absolutely, 100% I would, Rusty, especially in a cage. He would not because he's seen the movie Jaws. I've seen Jaws too. Just not concerned because that's not how sharks act. Sharks don't jump onto boats. All right? I love Jaws, though. Great movie. Also, I heard you talking about the All-Star. Are y'all going Monday or Tuesday night? I'm actually working Monday and Tuesday night. I cannot wait. Going to be lots of fun to listen to. Not going to be able to see a lot of the All-Star game or the Home Run Derby, except for on the monitors that are inside the Truist Club. But we have like, you know, 15 TVs in there. I'm going to get to watch it on those. But it's going to be a lot of fun. See, I'll be down there. If you're into the Delta or the Truist Club, give me a shout. I'll come say hi. Here's another one from Chipper. Now, he's doing this interview with Marquise Grissom right by him, and he was asked about the 1995 World Series because both of those guys were Braves on that team. And if you remember correctly, Marquise Grissom was the person who recorded the last out as he was playing center field. So here's Chipper. And look, when I sit here and talk about baseball is a very long season, when you think about it, because Chipper puts it in perspective, you're like, oh, my goodness gracious, we play baseball like 9 months out of the year. Here's Chipper Jones.
Watching him run over from center field, you know, into the gap and just glide, you know, to it and, you know, knowing that he's got a beat on it and that this puppy's over, you know. It was like it was happening in slow motion. I know yeah. It probably took that ball forever to get out there to him. But when he closed it, it was just, you know, I don't think we could ever imagine the relief for a lot of the younger guys and just the elation. You know, I mean, we start playing this game Valentine's Day, and we don't end until Halloween. You know, that's a long time of living together and playing together and eating together and doing, you know, everything for it to culminate right there and be the last team standing. You know, we play a team sport. That's the ultimate. All the individual stuff pales in comparison to what happened for us that night.
So, hey, we've got some good news for me, not great news for soccer fans, but it's just a little bit of not great news. So, Atlanta United 2 is in a weather delay as well. It's lots of weather delays all over the place. So you're stuck with me till 8 o'clock, which is only 30 more minutes, a segment and a half more. And so we're going to, yeah, we'll patchwork this thing together and talk about some stuff. Not sure what yet, but
we can finish the article.
We will finish the fantasy football article. I'm going to talk about Brock Bowers. May talk about some Bijan Robinson, too. But here's one last one for Chipper. Now, he gets this question a lot, all right? This is a whole different conversation that we may get into. Everybody is there's a lot of people out there that when the Braves are doing bad, look, this has not been a great season, that are calling for Brian Snicker's job, all right? This is not Brian Snicker's fault this season, all right? Snit has been nothing but amazing for this baseball team. For somebody who was going to really come in as an interim-type manager until they found somebody different, and then, oh, lo and behold, they win a World Series, all right? The players love playing for him. He hasn't lost the locker room. But we do know that, or if you didn't know, his contract's up at the end of the year. There is a lot of speculation that he'll probably retire. I've said this before sitting right here in this chair. I would have dropped the mic in the press conference right after winning the World Series in 2021. After putting my cigar out in my beer, I'd have been like, deuces, I'm 65 years old and I'm retiring from Major League Baseball after 45 freaking years. That's what I would have done if I'm Snit. But he's a career Brave. He's a career baseball guy. So, of course, he's not going to. But his contract is up, and he's got some wonderful, beautiful grandchildren that I know he wants to spend more time with. Despite what happened this year, I think Snit is probably going to retire regardless, just because that's the end of his contract. All right, I don't want to say the Braves were forced to extend Snit longer than they had to, but he won a World Series. That was a smart thing to do. But he was not one of Alex Anthopoulos's guys, in quotes, all right? And what I mean, Snit was already in place when Alex came here, all right? That's why he was only supposed to be kind of an interim manager. I don't know if maybe they were throwing him a bone, being the manager of Triple A Gwinnett for a long time, and getting promoted to the big league club as a manager. Hey, but hey, he won a World Series. He deserves to be in that chair, and he deserves to make the decision. If he doesn't want to retire, then don't retire. And the Braves shouldn't move on. But I think Snit probably retires at the end of this year. And something that Chipper Jones has been asked and was asked yesterday after managing in the Futures game, do you have any inclination of managing the Atlanta Braves?
You have to be completely committed to be a coach or a manager. And I just don't know that I could serve the spot as well as I should, because I'm, quite frankly, being pulled in more important directions, for me. So it's besides, I keep asking myself, why would any general manager, especially here in Atlanta, want to hire me for a fireable spot, for a fireable job? Like, would you want to have to be the general manager that has to fire me? That's a bad PR move, if you're asking me. So I think I've got my foot in the door just enough where both sides kind of dig it right now.
Hey, Chipper Jones knows his value, knows your worth, young man. Bad PR move if the Braves hire me in a fireable position and then have to fire me. Yeah, he's 100% correct, though. City of Atlanta absolutely loves Chipper Jones. He's a Hall of Famer, for Christ's sake. Played his entire career here. Going to have a statue at Truist Park someday. So he's right. And look, three kids still at home, seven kids total. I know his oldest son is a baseball coach. I'm sure some of his younger ones play baseball. I'm sure they all play baseball. Being a manager or a coach of anything, and look, I know from experience, although it's been, young people softball, but I'm a middle school coach at this point in my career. It does absorb a lot of your time. Didn't cause problems, but a little bit of friction at home when I told Tara that I was going to coach middle school and then back that up with coaching another rec season, because she knows that it absorbs a lot of your time. It does. You have to be 100% committed to coach a team at anything, any level. So, of course, being a Major League Baseball coach will take up all of your time. And Chipper's smart. I don't know that he wants to coach a team when his three kids at home are out of the house. He probably wants to fill the rest of that time duck hunting or deer hunting or riding four-wheelers or drinking Crown Royal or having a beer with buddies. I don't think Chipper wants to coach full-time. Now, he does lend his time to the Atlanta Braves a lot. He is around the ballpark a lot. And Chipper, we thank you for that. One last cut before we get out of here. So what we're going to do in the next segment, I have some Falcons cuts here for you that we're going to have to rush through, but not any longer. As you all know, quarterback has wrapped up. That's been a big topic of conversation this week at this radio station because Kirk Cousins came out and, admitted being hurt and all this, that, and the other. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about Mike Penix talking to Mike Vick. Got some other football cuts we're going to talk about in the next segment. I want to leave you with one more. I want to play one more cut for you because somebody that didn't make the All-Star team this year, that stinky, filthy Met Juan Soto. And look, we had this discussion the other day on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy that you can find here on Sports Radio 99 The Game, Monday through Friday, 11 to 2. Andy's a fan of Juan Soto. I'm not. I don't like his shimmy. I don't like that he's a freaking crybaby every time he gets a called strike on him. Hey, swing at those pitches. And I probably just don't like the fact that he's a Met. Juan Soto didn't make the All-Star team this year. Now, look, there were player votes. There's coaches' votes. Don't just cry about the fan vote. Obviously, people aren't a fan of you, Juan Soto. Here's him getting chirpy. Not chirpy, just being downright rude to a reporter who asked him about it.
Would you have like to make the All-Star team?
What do you think?
I don't know. Some people want to take vacation.
I mean, I think it's a lot of money on the table if I make it.
There you go. Juan Soto not selected. But he just cares about the money. He doesn't care about playing for the fans. So go on vacation, Juan Soto. We'll be right back. It's the Bo Johnson Experience. Give me 5 minutes on Sports Radio 99 The Game. One of the longest songs of the Metallica catalog, Seek and Destroy. If I had to guess, it's probably fourth longest. There were two songs on the album Load that, for whatever reason, a lot of people hated, but I loved. I graduated high school in 1995, so I was 19 years old when Load came out in 1996. So it was awesome. They changed their look. They became more 90s. They cut all their hair off. They redid the logo. They released Load. Get over it. It was great. Fuel, one of the best songs Metallica's ever made. Anyways, welcome back. Sports Radio 910 The Game. It's the Bo Johnson Experience. 404-726-0929. We're getting bonus radio tonight, which is pretty cool. Atlanta United 2 will kick off at 8 o'clock as opposed to 7:30 this evening. And you will get all of the pleasant sounds of Jason Longshore's voice as he calls an Atlanta United 2 soccer game. My apologies if that disappoints you, but it's only 30 minutes. You can bear it with us. So we're going to do some, we're going to talk some Falcons in this segment. Then we are going to do a Ask Each Other Anything, might as well. So if you want to give us a shout, 404-726-0929. You can always also get with us on the text line. That is the same number, 404-726-0929. Don, last time we were together, I had just come back from Nashville from getting a tattoo.
Yes, yes.
You informed me that your dad does tattoos?
Mm-hmm.
Drake has a couple tattoos.
Yes, he does.
Have you seen this? You know where I'm going with this?
Does he have a new tattoo that he released?
He has a cover-up.
Oh,
of a tattoo.
Of a certain...
So, Drake, now look, you may know more about this whole beef than I do, but a little bit of the backstory. Now, everybody pretty much knows, even if you don't listen to hip-hop, everybody pretty much knows about the Drake and Lamar beef.
Mm-hmm.
And Lamar just squashed Drake.
Yeah.
Lamar squashed Drake at halftime on the Super Bowl in front of millions of people watching the Super Bowl. So everybody knows kind of about that beef.
Yep.
And that Lamar won it. All right, so Drake apparently used to be a big LeBron James fan.
Yeah.
So LeBron was recently at
the
something
pop-up.
That,
so Kendrick had a show in Compton called The Pop-Up. And
LeBron went.
LeBron was there.
There's pictures of LeBron
dancing, having a great time
with Kendrick.
Yep,
having a good time. Apparently, this upset Drake, who was such a big LeBron James fan that he had a LeBron James tattoo on his left shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
All right. First off, I don't know that I would go getting unless it's look. If I had a bunch of money. Because I would, if I had the money, I would be covered in tattoos probably.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Somewhere along the line, I may dedicate a piece of my body to, like, sports figures that I have admired. And I would probably have, like, Ricky Henderson, Michael Jordan.
Well, here's what I will say. Does it change a little bit if there is a level of actual, like, friendship? It's not just, like, a fan type thing. It's
yes.
Like, he and I actually are friends. He and I hang out together. Like,
I've
been
probably,
around his
yes,
family.
Yes, it probably would. I would probably get one of my best friends tattooed on me.
I was going to say, that'd be like, okay, crazy idea. Andy and Randy, you guys all decide, like, hey, you guys retire after doing this for 20, 30 years or whatever, and... Hey, you know what? To retire,
100%. I would
all
do that.
Three of us, get our faces.
I would, if we wanted to do it as a show promotion, and we had a tattoo studio want to pay for it. I would get Andy and Randy's faces tattooed somewhere on me right now, tomorrow.
Really?
This is how much I just love tattoos. I don't care. Like I've got, and this would go for your pops too.
Yeah.
If he ever enters a tattoo convention and needs a canvas. Whatever you want to do, I would give my thigh to somebody. I have one of the guys that did most of my work was a server for me when I was a manager at Outback Steakhouse. His name's John Restrepo. Lives in Miami. Not related to Xavier Restrepo, I don't think.
Okay.
Lives in Miami in Hialeah, if you're familiar with the Miami area. Moved down there to take a job at a tattoo studio after doing a few of my tattoos in his mom's house. He would come back here to see his family and set up appointments for his Atlanta area clients.
Yeah.
I would go when he was in town and in his mom's kitchen get tattoos when he would come in town.
Awesome. Awesome.
He came in to do a tattoo convention a few years ago, and I told him, and that because they need that. When they do a tattoo convention, it's a certain category of tattoo, like a black and gray something.
Yeah. For
and
sure.
They usually have things that they would want to do. Because they know they're good at that. And I told him, like, look, dude, yeah, you can have a piece of my body to do a tattoo for a convention. That's one, that's how much respect I have for him. Two, I love tattoos. And I would do that, you know. I'm not going to get a tattoo on my face for somebody like that. But if a tattoo shop in town wants to spend money and sponsor it, dude, I would 100%. If you want to hire me to voice an ad for your tattoo shop and then have me come in and get a tattoo of Andy and Randy's faces on me, I will do that.
Okay.
100%.
Make sure I would clip do this that. And
sales, if anybody from sales is listening, you know, 100%. That, yeah. Sign me up. So, yeah, so you were saying, so Drake and LeBron were friends.
They are close friends. So that's what I was going to say.
Not the same as just getting somebody you're a fan of tattooed that's still playing.
Now, I will say, Drake is a little bit of a weirdo and does this
because
he has a couple people's faces. Yeah. Now, some of them are people that he's close with, but like he has like Aaliyah's face tattooed on him and stuff like
that.
I
would put Aaliyah's face on me.
Right. So
Aaliyah was Queen of the Damned.
Exactly.
Aaliyah was great.
So that's a few, like he's done this a few times. It is just funny that this beef has now led to you having to get cover-up tattoos.
This is even better that they are friends, because now Drake is pulling the ultimate crybaby move. He has covered up LeBron's tattoo.
Yes, yes.
With an SGA tattoo.
Oh, wait, okay. I didn't.
He has covered up the LeBron tattoo with a Shai Gilgeous-Alexander dedication tattoo. I don't know if it's Shai's face. I do know that it has his name and his number on it, because I found that, I think ESPN actually ran an article on this, I think. And they don't show an up close of it. They just show like Drake's shoulder during a show, because I'm sure he hasn't posed for anybody for it. Drake covered up his LeBron tattoo with an SGA tattoo. Yes, that happened. Hilarious.
SGA is Canadian.
They are both Canadian.
They are both Canadian.
I can see how maybe he's a better friend with SGA than maybe...
You're not. You don't know that man. Drake and SGA have not spent a ton of time hanging out together, I can assure you.
This is freaking hilarious.
That's hilarious. I didn't know... When you said he got it covered up, I was like, okay, to get it covered up with another
NBA player that's currently playing, but a lot younger, just won Finals MVP.
Yeah, like, good Lord.
Yeah. Finals and regular season MVP, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Just the amount of jockstrap
probably better
writing
at this point than LeBron. But is this the trajectory that Drake's going to follow? So
if
SGA cannot go to Lamar,
if SGA pisses Drake off one day, he's gonna have to get a Luka Doncic tattoo instead.
Look, man, I got no issues, Drake, with you getting an SGA tattoo. But the fact that you covered up your LeBron tattoo with an SGA tattoo, come on, man.
Yeah. Like, I got issues with both, but
is this the ultimate in tattoo pettiness?
It's just
or crybabiness or
it's just
wow, man.
And then also like the thing is, it's just so funny because especially in this, we're getting deep into the lore here, but like especially with him trying to do this whole Iceman persona, which is what he's doing right now, where he's trying to be like cool and hard and everybody turned their back on me, so it's me against everyone and all this other stuff. So it's just very tone-deaf.
Did you see, now Drake's Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see what Drake just said about British hip hop artists?
Yes, and that he's wrong.
British hip hop artists are better lyricists and rappers than American hip hop artists.
Listen, and this is from someone who actually does appreciate some UK artists.
Yeah.
I do like some UK rappers. No. No. Not like the best of the UK would get like absolutely embarrassed by the worst of what we have in
America. The best of the UK could maybe open for Kendrick.
You could take like, I'll take some like Skepta and Stormzy and some guys like that. Those are big artists in the UK. They wouldn't like in a battle wouldn't be good enough to go up against like who's just
Silk the Shocker?
Yeah, like I mean like somebody, mid-tier, I mean,
yeah.
Just
absolute, I'm not calling Silk.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But like that's your best isn't even good enough to really challenge our worst.
That's hilarious. Drake, man, just go back in the studio, do something the fans want. All right. You got guys out there.
Which Which
like
is
Dylan
funny.
Matthews thirsting for Drake music.
He put out a good song recently. The little new song that he put out, the What Did I Miss? I like that record.
In that, so he's been, there was a lyric about LeBron in that song.
Yeah, now, again.
And he changed the lyrics to it last time he performed it.
Yeah, I just, again, you're.
Because he's 16, 6, 23, yeah, 6 like 23 LeBron. Like now LeBron, it's 6, 23 not like LeBron.
Uh-huh.
But that doesn't even make sense.
Yeah, it's just, again, it's a lot of pettiness. It's a lot of just. Just be a grown man. Just you lost the beef. It's okay.
It did. Move
Keep
on.
Keep it moving. Like, move on.
These things happen.
It happens.
You're going to lose a rap beef every now and again. I've lost lots of them, Drake.
It happens.
Come on, man. Grow up. Let's see. The MLB draft is in the – it's the 16th pick. So we might see the Braves make a pick before I get off the air here since we're going until 8 o'clock. All right. So let me play some Falcons audio for you before we might have to carry this on in the next segment too. But, hey, you know, fun conversations are fun conversations. And I think Drake covering up his LeBron James tattoo for an SGA tattoo is absolutely freaking hilarious.
That insane.
All right, so if you have not watched Quarterback, maybe you do not have Netflix, and maybe because we do have brand new audiences on weekends, I'm sure that – I don't know how much the weekend guys talked about this yesterday or earlier today. So here's one from Kirk Cousins from Quarterback on why – So it came out that he took a hit versus New Orleans. We all knew that because he said earlier, like a month ago, maybe more, they got hurt in the New Orleans game, but stayed in and, you know, cost the Falcons some games quite literally because he played hurt. And if you watched him play before he got benched, he was not good. All right. Could not put any zip on the ball. Had a stat about how he could not put zip on the ball. Here's Kirk Cousins explaining why he chose to deceive everyone.
Once I lost my shoulder and my elbow, should I have sat out? Should I have done something different in my rehab? You know, you have all those questions. With the information I had at the time, I made the best decision. But you also know that if you sit down week 10 and take 2 or 3 weeks or more to let it heal, you may never get your job back, you know? I remember reading Drew Brees' book back in 2010 when he first wrote it, how he made the point that he tried to never let his backup see the field, even if it was somebody who was really no threat. He just felt like you should never do that, that Doug Flutie taught him that. And so that was something I always was aware of, that, you know, in this league, if you give someone else the chance, if you want to be Wally Pipp and there's Lou Gehrig behind you, that can happen.
All right, now, you can't fault... Now, there's a line here, and there's two sides of it. Objectively speaking, I can see both sides of this line. On Kirk Cousins' side of this line, he's 100% correct. You're not going to meet an athlete that, if they can go on, will choose to come out of a game because of injury. I've been there. We've all been there. At some level or some time in your life playing sports, I'm sure you tweaked a knee or an ankle or a shoulder and just stayed in the game because you're a baller or you like playing that sport, which is exactly what Kirk Cousins did. Now, on the other side of that line, he 100% did cost the Falcons games. Now, in the games that they lost, even the Chargers game, they were still in the game. Now, there were a lot of missed field goals in a couple of these games, too, so I don't think that they can all be attributed to Kirk Cousins, but if he doesn't throw 4 interceptions versus the Chargers, they probably win that game. Also, if some field goals are made, they probably win that game. So it's not like all these games are squarely on his shoulders, but a lot of it is. All right, they did win. They did lose how 4 in a row before he eventually got benched for Michael Penix?
Went a whole calendar month without throwing a touchdown.
Yeah. You could tell. So from that perspective, being that football is a team sport and you are on a team and you should do whatever's better for the team, which is win football games and make the playoffs, and you could have had a small percentage of fault for the Falcons not making the playoffs last year. From that perspective, bad on you, Kirk Cousins, but I do not think that you can sit here and blame Kirk Cousins for not wanting to come out of a game because he's 100% right. If you don't know the story behind Wally Pipp was the first baseman for the New York Yankees, and Lou Gehrig was his backup. Wally Pipp sat out a game because he got hurt, and Lou Gehrig didn't sit out another game for like 2,500 straight baseball games. All right? And I think that that's a near number. That's not the exact number, but it's around that area. That record stood for like 60 years before Cal Ripken Jr. just so. It's a thing in sports. You come out hurt, you may lose your job. So either Kirk thought that Michael Penix was that good that he could come in and take his job, or maybe Kirk thought that maybe he doesn't get his job back this year because he was that seriously injured. And then maybe he has to compete next year, which would be this year. And, well, you're right, but you played enough to where we could see, everybody could see. And finally, Falcons brass, who should have seen this maybe in the Chargers game, that you were hurt and should come out. They let it go four games before they decided to sit you down. Now that has happened. You have lost your job. Maybe if you just take a couple games off, Michael Penix comes in and kind of gets you, you know, you go 2-2 in that four-game stretch. Maybe you go 1-3, then you get your job back because you're the better quarterback. Give me a healthy Kirk Cousins over anything that Michael Penix did last year in the three games that he started. Nobody would take Michael Penix over a healthy Kirk Cousins. So there you go. All right, one segment left already. Again, we'll do Ask Each Other Anything. I'm going to play we're going to talk a little more Falcons in the next segment too. But if you want to send us any questions, 404-726-0929, Ask Each Other Anything. We're also going to talk a little bit more Falcons. We got one segment left. This is the Bo Johnson Experience on Sports Radio 910 of the game. Blow the whistle. We're about to blow the whistle in about 9 minutes. Well, Atlanta United is going to blow the whistle at 8. They're kicking off at 8. We have to blow our whistle at 7:50. A little bit of bonus radio here for us this evening on the Bo Johnson Experience, which we will gladly take. So moving off of the Kirk Cousins conversation, but kind of staying on it, because we're going to get into the Michael Penix discussion real fast. Michael Penix sat down this week. I don't know if he sat down with Mike Vick this week, but they released this conversation, AtlantaFalcons.com, on July 9th. And if you put your thinking cap on, 7/9. Here's Michael Penix with Mike Vick on what a successful season will look like for the Falcons.
What's a successful season for the Atlanta Falcons and Michael Penix?
The postseason. Oh, gotta get in the postseason. Seeing like the Dirty Bird Nest and like all the little highlights of the fans, it was like, man, like they get rocking whenever we win it. So like, I definitely want to get back to that. You know, winning football games so we can have the city turn.
So here's one for you. Successful season for the Falcons playoffs, according to Michael Penix Jr. There are people, this is going to be what, year three for Raw? Four. Three or four?
For here in Atlanta, it'll only be a second year as a head coach.
Yeah. So look, that even strengthens my point. I don't understand the I can understand it with Terry, Falcons GM. I don't understand it with Raw. If Falcons don't make playoffs, both of them are gone people. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But that is what happens in sports these days.
The only thing that I could think of is that now I feel like a lot of people are kind of like, one, the whole collaboration thing, I feel like some people probably didn't like that he didn't take the lead on a lot of things at times, so maybe there was a little bit of a hesitancy, so that's a knock there. But also I think that is just, if they don't make the playoffs this year, in a year where you don't play in that tough of a division, and for all intents and purposes, this is the best roster that we've seen the Falcons have in years. So now it's time for, you know, the fruits.
Falcons definitely won the draft. Definitely improve the defense.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Love what the offense have. They have, look, they got a, in my eyes, now there's no arguing what Saquon Barkley did last year. If I were to ask 10 people who the best running back in the NFL is right now today, it's going to be Saquon Barkley probably 9 out of 10 times. But the other guy in that conversation is Bijan Robinson.
Absolutely.
They got that guy.
Mm-hmm.
They also got Drake. Badass. Don't know what Kyle Pitts is going to be. But then you got, if you're doing blind resume, you've got quarterback taken high in the draft 2 years ago, last year, 2 years, however you want to call it. Played one season, played three games. Is there a minimum games to where you're not going to be a rookie? like there is in baseball. Like, Michael Penix is a rookie. I know that he had his rookie season last year. If a rookie quarterback never sees game time, he's still he's not a rookie anymore.
It's like in college. Like, if you're in your first year, they can redshirt you, but, like, you can still play in 4 games. Like, you can appear in 4 games, but, like, you can still get redshirted.
But he's no longer a rookie compared to, like, his football card is not going to say rookie on it for 2025.
Right.
But he's a rookie. He's played 3 games.
Redshirt freshman.
All right. Okay. But still, he's your starter this season.
Yeah.
And people are wondering why they keep Kirk Cousins around. Now, look, he did improve from game one that he started last year to game three. But he still, you know, threw just as many interceptions as he did touchdowns. His quarterback rating for those 3 games was not good. He is the starter of your franchise for 2025. And there's a lot of hype surrounding him. He was good in college. National championship. Went there anyway. But what if he's not who you think he is? This is why Kirk Cousins is still on the team. Now, look, Kirk Cousins' value, if there is any quarterback injury in the NFL this season, is going to skyrocket. So they're either holding out for that, and they would probably, I would imagine they would probably trade him if somebody comes calling with high draft picks, not a fourth rounder. If somebody gets hurt and it's a contending team or a team that looks like they could be in the playoffs this season, the value for Kirk Cousins, he's probably the most valuable backup. Well, he is. Look at his paycheck. He's definitely the most valuable backup quarterback in the NFL. He's the best backup quarterback in the NFL, skill-wise, especially now another season removed from the Achilles, which he admitted also that the Achilles wasn't bothering him, but getting back into football performance shape did.
Yeah, I think he said something kind of like did, about going into week one, how he still didn't
It's going to be on your brain. So now people's jobs are at stake. So this is like year five for Terry, so I can absolutely see that. And look, the first-round draft picks for Terry have not exactly panned out, minus, you know, Bijan. Drake's been pretty good. The Pitt, I mean, we don't even get into Kyle Pitts. You know, and the jury's out on Penix. So now he's going to be the starter with 3 games experience. Like, to put that in perspective, look, the Saints have a quarterback battle going on. None of them are particularly good, we think.
Get the shuck or the rattle.
Yeah, but Spencer Rattler started more games than Michael Penix in the NFL. He has more experience, and I don't know if he's better. I don't know that you can look on paper and say that either of them are better. You ask any Falcons fan, they're going to tell you, ah, ha, 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 Saints, ha, 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 but we don't know. You don't know how good Michael Penix is going to be. So now the franchise is depending on this guy to carry the Falcons into the playoffs, and that's the expectation for a quarterback who started 3 games. The expectation is through the roof for this guy. And I'm not saying you should reel it in a little bit, but you do have to understand that there is another side of this coin. What if he's not that guy? Or what if it takes a little bit of time for this guy to be good? It does take time for these guys to be good. That's why quarterbacks sit a lot of times. That's what the intention was last year, was for Michael Penix to sit behind Kirk Cousins for at least a year. They gave Kirk Cousins a 4-year deal, knowing he could get out of it after 2. They thought Kirk Cousins was going to be the starter for 2 years.
Yep.
So then how long of a leash does Michael Penix have as a rookie quarterback? What if they go in 3?
You just got to take your lumps. You can't go back to Kirk.
I don't think you can now.
I don't think so. Yeah, at this point.
Not after all this stuff.
After all this stuff, no, you can't go back to Kirk. So you just. If
the Falcons go 0-3. And it doesn't necessarily have to be from bad quarterback play. What if they just go 0-3 and he's mediocre quarterback play?
Mm-hmm.
I think Abe was saying earlier, you know, all you need for Penix to be is a top 12, 13 quarterback. That's above average. You need him to be an average quarterback. What if he's not that? You know, what if he's the 20th best quarterback in the NFL? What if he's the 18th best quarterback in the NFL? Is that enough to make you a playoff team? If you're deep, hey, look, the Baltimore Ravens did it a couple times.
Yeah.
With just a badass defense and Joe Flacco.
Do we think the defense is going to be that good?
We don't know. We think that it is. We should on paper. I don't know, man. It's a conversation that nobody's really been willing to have, though. What if he's not that guy? And we all want to look at training camp, which is only 2 weeks away, through red-colored glasses and believe the team is going to be that team, and they might be. I hope for Falcons fans that that is the case. But what if it's not? That is a conversation that needs to be had, and then what do you do? Because if you can't go back to your $100 million quarterback, oh, my goodness gracious alive. Is it Logan Woodside? Is he still on team? Who's the guy? I mean,
tank for Arch at that point.
Oh, goodness. Which is what the Saints are supposed to be doing. So now are you going to be in a tank for Arch battle with your rival? Oh, God. Falcons fans don't want to hear that. All right, we got to go. This has been the Bo Johnson Experience. Dom, thanks a lot. Thanks to everybody that texted on the text line. I'll be back at some point. Hit me up at Jedi Sports Radio for all your fantasy football questions and stuff. Way back. See ya.